This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. This week, a state judge in New Jersey ruled that the state has to allow same-sex marriages, even though there's no law in that state that allows it. Well, the judge said the Constitution of the state allows it. Meanwhile, the clerk in Pennsylvania who had been issuing gay marriage licenses has been told by another court to knock it off. And we have a story this week about Exxon announcing that it is going to be offering benefits to same-sex couples in the United States who have been legally married in the states where that is permitted. Here to discuss all of this is Angela Giampolo, who is an attorney and an entrepreneur in the Philadelphia area who tweets at Philly Gay Lawyer and is our go-to guest on gay legal issues. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you, Paul?
Good. Let's start in New Jersey. What's going on here?
Sure. So New Jersey allows civil unions. It doesn't have a law that expressly allows gay marriage or prohibits it. But ever since DOMA fell, a lawsuit was filed by Lambda Legal, and it went up to this judge, and the judge said, pursuant to DOMA having fallen, all of the residents of New Jersey aren't privy to these 1,138 rights, and that's inherently unconstitutional, and so she said there should be gay marriage in New Jersey.
Okay, so does that mean that immediately gay couples can start lining up and getting married?
So she set the date of October 21st as the effective date, but unfortunately, as with everything in the legal system, nothing is easy, nothing is immediate, and we're expecting that Governor Christie and the current administration is going to appeal. So we're looking at, realistically, October 21st is not going to happen. We're looking at a several-month legal battle, but it's going to make Governor Christie look bad in a reelection, you know, situation, and he was hoping that this wouldn't come up while he was still governor.
Yeah, there actually was a bill passed by the New Jersey legislature that would have allowed gay marriage in that state, but he has vetoed it and said he would continue to veto any future legislation, right?
Exactly. What he tried to do during that veto time period was say, listen, which, I mean, this is inherently wrong in my opinion, but as a politician, he said, the people should decide. Let's send this to the ballot and let the people decide. Well, civil rights is not something you leave to the people. I mean, that's why we elect politicians, is to protect our civil rights. So, yeah, he placed a veto, tried to get it to go to the ballot and say, you know what, if the people override, that's one thing. But we're only 12 votes shy from the New Jersey legislature overriding his veto, which is huge.
I'm curious, as an advocate for gay issues yourself, how you feel about who should be making this decision. Should it be the sort of thing that becomes a referendum? Should it be the politicians who have to pass and sign laws? Or should it be judges?
In my opinion, it should be our legislature, right? Like, in addition to being an LGBT advocate, I'm a female, and in some places in this country, women still wouldn't be allowed to vote if people were left to that decision. And we'd probably still have slavery in certain places. I mean, unfortunately, that's why we have a democratic society and a democratic civil order. At some point, the legislature, regardless of how taboo an issue is at that given point, they need to step up, do their job. But again, unfortunately, I think this is something that will go all the way up to the Supreme Court, similar to with suffrage and slavery, that will go up to the Supreme Court, and eventually they will make up the minds for the entire United States. But in the meantime, legislature should be stepping up.
Does this decision by this judge in New Jersey affect any other states?
No, but it's interesting, and there's not a lot of press about it. This is actually going on, and the same thing with Bruce Haynes, the Register of Wills, the clerk that has been issuing marriage licenses in Pennsylvania. This exact same thing, a mix of Pennsylvania and New Jersey, is happening all in New Mexico. New Mexico does not have a law that either bans or allows same-sex marriage. And so after DOMA fell, a clerk, similar to Bruce Haynes, which is probably where he came up with the idea, started issuing marriage licenses because, you know, it's not illegal, so why not? And so about six clerks in New Mexico are issuing marriage licenses, and then one decided, I'm not going to issue marriage licenses. And she said, you know, that's not God's law. The form says bride and groom, show me a bride and groom, and then I'll issue it. And so all 33 counties came together and filed a petition and asked for the Supreme Court to decide once for all, because now you have all these counties that are arguing. So October 23rd is the date that New Mexico's Supreme Court has set to deal with this issue. So it's interesting because, no, the New Jersey decision doesn't affect any other state, but it's the first decision state, judicial decision by a judge post-DOMA, that is allowing gay marriage based on DOMA. So it has precedential effect. And now New Mexico will be happening in a couple of weeks. It'll be the second one. So it doesn't have a direct impact, but it definitely has a precedential impact. New Mexico judges will be looking at this opinion.
What's happened to those same-sex couples in Philadelphia, or rather in Pennsylvania and in New Mexico, who have actually gotten these licenses? Have they found anybody who could legally marry them?
So, I mean, Senator Dalen Leach here in Pennsylvania has been officiating. I think out of the 174 marriage licenses that have been issued, 96 were returned officiated, meaning someone who was licensed and able to sign that marriage license. And then within the 30-day time period, it was returned. So there are technically 96 marriage licenses out there in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure how many in New Mexico, but whether or not they're valid is a whole different issue, right? So Pennsylvania has a mini DOMA. New Mexico has nothing. So New Mexico has a much stronger case, in my opinion, of saying that those marriages are valid. Tell me otherwise. But Pennsylvania, I mean, last time we spoke, there was not one marriage equality case in Pennsylvania. And now we're up to five, if you include Bruce Haynes about his own actions. So while I disagree with him on a legal standpoint, he may be on the right side of history, but in my opinion, he's on the wrong side of the law. And I have issues with what he's doing from a rule of law standpoint. But civil disobedience did bring about, in a month and a half, five marriage equality cases in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, one of those. One of those cases, Angela, I read about this week was from a couple who got married in Massachusetts, two women who lived in Massachusetts when they got married in 2005. They moved to the Philadelphia area later that year to work at Bryn Mawr College. They had a son in January of 2009, and this week sued the state of Pennsylvania saying, "You're not recognizing our marriage."
Right. I have so many clients like that, I mean, and especially from Massachusetts, specifically in Vermont. But so, yeah, that particular case, so out of the five cases, they all come at this issue from a slightly different standpoint. And that particular case was filed in federal court. I think the cases that were filed in state court will have more traction. But that case was filed in federal court on behalf of this couple, purely and only attacking Pennsylvania's mini DOMA, so it has nothing to do with the marriage licenses here in Montgomery County. And from what I heard on Friday from the head of Equality Forum who coordinated that case, they got a very favorable, the case was assigned to a very favorable judge, who was a Bill Clinton appointee, as opposed to the ACLU case, which got appointed to an extremely conservative judge. So, you know, we're looking at hopefully a very expeditious, and this judge runs a very quick docket. So, I mean, I have high hopes for that case.
All right, the last thing I wanted to ask you about was ExxonMobil announcing on Friday that they're going to begin offering benefits to legally married same-sex couples in the U.S. for the first time starting next week. What your reaction?
So my reaction to that is bittersweet. At the end of the day, I don't think it was a shift, quote-unquote, like the headlines showed. I think it was merely a concession, you know, not to be a Debbie Downer about it, but Even they didn't use this as from a press release standpoint as a way to commend marriage equality. They simply said this was not a change in our policy. We've always followed federal law, and we're just continuing to follow federal law. So nothing has changed. So and they could have you know made a bigger to do about it, but even they didn't. So from an advocacy standpoint, I see it as a concession and not a shift, but hey, we'll take the wins. They have 77,000 employees here in the United States, the largest company to date to recognize same-sex couples. So, you know, I'll take it regardless of why they did it.
The irony of this to me is that we have so many of the members of the S&P 500 who are already offering benefits to same-sex partners because they realize that's the reality of America, and perhaps they are being even more progressive about this than the legislatures and the courts have been. Angela Giampolo is an advocate for gay legal issues and an attorney in the Philadelphia area. Thanks for joining me here today on America Weekend.
America Weekend.